Good morning. It is a Tuesday morning, post-Labor Day. We're with our political observer, Alan Chartok. Let's start with hello and hoping you had a good holiday weekend. I know the Ramblers played over at the Guthrie Center. How'd that go?
It was great. Great crowd, great people. It was a benefit for the Guthrie Center. We are delighted. It's a wonderful place. So, what a weekend. David, we have the President of the United States tweeting out that Jeff Sessions had no business allowing the Justice Department to indict two sitting Republican congressmen. Good work, Jeff, he said, as if whether you're a Republican or a Democrat matters if you have committed a crime. This has been met by howls of protest towards the president for trying to set up some kind of banana republic in which only the people in the other party are indicted. And again, the rule of law is being threatened, David. The idea that no one is above the law seems to be something that disturbs this president a great deal. In the meantime, David, there is a huge fight going on over whether or not impeachment should cross the lips of those people who are running for Congress on the Democrat line. The Democrats are saying, I think somewhat fecklessly, a term I've been using more and more about both parties, in which they have been saying, you know, if you use the word impeachment, it will excite the Republican base and we can't have that, so everybody shut up. It's as if the memo went out. Look, people are talking about impeachment. There's a story this morning, I believe in the Times, that says that the Democrats are gearing up if they take the House for investigations of the Trump administration on many, many different planes. Now, this is very important because the whole idea of setting up three branches of government is that they should look at each other. It's turning out that there isn't much of this right now. It's the perfect storm that elected Trump with a Republican Congress and basically a Republican Supreme Court with at least one switch vote, which now is gone. And that's why the Kavanaugh hearings, which we are about to see this morning on WAMC, are so important. Now, the Democrats in the Senate are looking for material that is in Kavanaugh's background, and disgracefully, it has been denied under executive privilege. There we go again, because Kavanaugh was quite a political figure and has been participating in a number of his own priorities, including the impeachment or potential impeachment and then impeachment of the President of the United States, Bill Clinton. So, the night before in the first hearing, a Republican operative in the Bush administration has released a trove of that material, which the Democrats have been asking for, with less than a day to go over the material. Now we will see whether the Democrats have the guts. I suspect they will try it, but if the votes aren't there, I don't see how they're going to put a stop to it.
And a programming note, Alan, you're going to start the roundtable at 9 a.m. The hearings are expected to begin at 9:30 a.m. this morning. Again, live on WAMC, the Supreme Court hearings for Brett Kavanaugh. Alan, primaries in Massachusetts today. I know you'll be voting. We've, of course, talked about the DA's race, and we've been hearing a lot, too, about a woman named Diana Presley, a Boston City councilor, facing the Congressman Mike Capuano, who share many of the same views.
David, they do, of course, when you have a woman of color who is coming up fast as a city councilor of many, many years and has been making the point that the district is now primarily more than half made up of people of color. So what you have is the potential for an Ocasio-Cortez type of revolution here. Capuano is well regarded. He's been endorsed by a lot of people, including Deval Patrick and so many others. And yet there is the expectation that this could be the kind of upset we have seen before. Capuano is leading by, I think, 14, 15 points. That is, of course, meaningless at a time when the pollsters have not been basically being able to get to the polls, who traditionally don't. So that could be quite an upset if it happens.
From the New York Times, Alan, President Trump's economy has left the most distressed swaths of the country waiting for their share of the good times. Growth has lifted the counties that voted for him president, but mostly it's the wealthy ones.
That's true. I mean, we know that he has been helping those people through his income tax plans and everything else. The debt has gone through the roof. If it had been the Democrats that raised the debt this high, they would have been yelling and screaming from the Republicans. Instead, you could hear the crickets out in the field. And the idea that you help your friends and you punish your enemies, something a great labor leader, Samuel Gompers, said years ago, has now been taken over by the Republican right wing in this case and saying, okay, we're going to help the people who helped us, and we're going to basically screw those who didn't. There's no other way to put it, because that's exactly what's happening.
Labor Day yesterday, unions in New York, Governor Cuomo moving to protect unions from the Janus case, a Supreme Court case that many feel will weaken them, and the president saying there's a reason unions are doing so poorly. Your thoughts on unions post-Labor Day?
Well, you know, the working men in America owe a great deal to unions. The reason that people aren't working 6 and 7 days a week, the reason that we have these holidays, the reason that we have weekends, the reason that we have minimum wages, that's all unions. And the working men and women of America owe a great deal to the unions. However, the unions have not always played their cards correctly. You have people like the Teamsters who have had real rough times over the years. From where I'm sitting, I was a member of two unions, and I was extremely grateful for what they did for me. So it is a balancing act. The unions have to make sure that they put their best people forward, that they don't take advantage, that their leadership is not corrupt. And on the other hand, if anybody forgets what unions have done for them, think again.